This is Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hardim. Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
And I say yes, you look wonderful tonight.
Ah, it's a beauty, isn't it? Love Eric. Well, the music is appropriate for the show and for the next guest. It is Hi-Fi Radio. It's a show about money. And it's incredible. The American economy, which is the finest economy in the world. It's the finest stock market in the world. And we are blessed as Canadians to operate in the same time zone and have pretty fluid access to the U.S. market. I'd be challenged if I was just stuck to buying Canadian companies. In fact, I'd say about two-thirds of the businesses that we own in our portfolios are American companies. They're incredible companies. They're huge. They're massive. There's a lot of good information on these companies. Delighted to work with Canaccord. Have some brilliant, brilliant brain trust at this firm. Susan Anderson, one of our analysts. 18 years of experience working on what's called the sell side. Also worked at Deutsche Bank, Citi. She's a veteran. She holds an MBA, CFA, and to boot on the side, civil engineering. California State, Long Beach. Wow. Welcome, Susan, to Hi-Fi Radio. Jack had a great conversation with you. You said you're a ball of fun and bright and full of insight. Appreciate you spending some time with us this Saturday night on the show about money, Hi-Fi Radio. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you cover consumer retail, health, wellness, and lifestyle. Jack and I had a great pass a couple years ago on Estee Lauder. It hit our screens, bought the stock, made some good money. Stock began to roll over, grabbed the loot and scooted, booked a nice trade. Stock blew up again. Concerns of China not reopening as quickly, and that is part of this play. Estee Lauder is an interesting business because they make a lot of money, a lot of sales at airports, as your 14 hours, show up 14 hours before your plane leaves, kind of a deal. Hope you don't lose your luggage. Try to relax. Go buy some makeup, I guess. But that story lost a bit of a bloom. Stock pulled back. A lot of questions on the street. Do you buy Estee Lauder? And your answer to that question is?
Well, no, we're waiting on the sidelines. We have a hold right now. I think there's a little bit more to the story than just China and travel. You know, it definitely seems like the Chinese consumers getting back out, they're traveling. We've heard stories of some travel retail up 30%, but they're buying other stuff besides beauty right now. They want to get out and they want to buy handbags. They want to buy luxury goods. You know, they kind of kept fairly well stocked on beauty during COVID. So I think they're really looking for other things when they get out. And, you know, Estee Lauder is just so penetrated in that channel. I think it's just not seeing the rebound that they thought they would be seeing at this point in time. And it, you know, it just may take longer for it to happen. So, you know, we think it's more than just the travel retail in China. And then if you look here, you know, in the U.S. or in North America, a lot of their brands are just kind of old, right? They're legacy brands, we call them, Estee Lauder, Clinique. They sell through department stores. The younger consumer, the millennials, and now we're seeing Gen Z be a part of the pie. They want these newer on-trend brands, and they want to buy them either online or at a specialty beauty retailer such as Ulta. And I think, you know, Estee just hasn't shifted with the tide as much as they should have. So we're kind of waiting on the sidelines, you know, seeing how all this plays out. They did have the Tom Ford acquisition, which I think will be great for them. It'll, you know, take time to ramp up. They have lots of cash too, once they pay down that debt, so they can acquire new brands too. So, you know, we're just kind of waiting on the sidelines, seeing what happens next.
Fair enough.
I can say the brands are kind of stale, as you said, Susan. So what about the valuation? Because a retail investor, often they look at a stock and they see it's down. I'm not sure how much it was down, but was it maybe 10% or something like that on the recent news or earnings. Valuation-wise, Susan, what type of growth do you see out of Estee Lauder? And then also, is it cheap now?
No, we don't really think so. So, you know, we actually had to cut earnings more than the stock got cut. So valuation actually went up. You know, they're still going to have negative sales. We use PE, so trading at almost 37 times next year's consensus earnings.
Wow.
Historically, it's traded at 32 times. So it's trading above its historical average. So I think we need to kind of see where, you know, the business settles out, when it bottoms and when they can start to see sales and earnings grow again. So, yeah, we don't really think it's necessarily a value here.
Now, let me pivot over to a stock that we do own. Tell me, I'm not the chump that topped it, but I'm very toppable. I can top stuff all the time, i.e. buy the peak and watch it go lower. I'm human, but I deal with my mistakes and move on and, well, try to hang on to the winners and get rid of the losers. That said, Ulta Beauty, it hit my screens. Technically, it was working. I saw you did a nice write-up on it. We put some money on the table, bought some Ulta. I was right for about 3 minutes, and then the stock rolled over. yeah, you laugh. Yeah, funny with other people's money. But as I say to Jack, this is a business of taking shots on net. You just have to be able to be disciplined with your money management. Shots on net, folks. We understand that in this town, don't we? Ulta. Am I going to be okay?
So Ulta is the one that we would buy here. So it has pulled back, which I think is a great buying opportunity. You know, its valuation's below its historical. It's one of the cheaper beauty retailers you can buy out there. It's well diversified. It has both mass and prestige beauty, so both low end and high end. So it should do well in any environment, right? And it's in the right spot, I think, for the future of consumers shopping for beauty. They have their own stores. You know, they're new, hip, on trend. They're always bringing in new brands. They always have the hottest new brands, unlike department stores. And, you know, you can buy wherever you want to buy with Ulta. They have a great loyalty program, one of the largest in beauties. It's really the largest behind Target at 40 million customers. So,
wow. You
know, I think. Sorry, if I may,
Susan, this is an interesting point you're making. Many businesses are valued at a higher level if they have a loyalty program. Obviously, Costco, followed by. Come on, help me here, people. Followed by Costco, followed by, you mentioned Ulta.
Target, one of the biggest.
Target's got a big, Walmart has a big loyalty program now.
Market loves reoccurring predictable revenue.
Who invented the loyalty program? Canadian Tire.
Canadian Tire
invented the loyalty program, boys and girls.
But
that's what you learn on Hi-Fi Radio. Good, powerful stuff like that. Yes. We're going to take a quick break. We're hanging with our consumer and retail health, wellness, and lifestyle analyst, Susan Anderson. Susan, what state are you? Are you in California right now?
I'm actually near D.C.
Washington. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Very, very nice. I enjoy my stay in that town. It's a great place. Going to take a quick break. Get back with Susan. Speak a little bit more about the consumer discretionary segment. Talk a little bit about fashion as well. She mentioned handbags, and well, I'll share with you a stock that we just purchased. But you're going to hang around for about a minute and a half.
Let's take a break. Wolf and Jack will continue their in-depth discussion about money. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
Gotta cut that one short. Sorry, folks. It's a material girl thing, right? All right, we're setting up Susan Anderson. She is with the Canaccord, of course. She's one of our star analysts. Very, very educated individual, civil engineer, MBA, CFA, worked globally, and she's hanging out in D.C. It's cool the footprint Canaccord has throughout America, all these little offices across the country, and different pulse, without question, as we speak to your cohorts, Susan. I'm going to throw a question to you. In D.C., how many cranes do you see in the sky? And my second question is, how is that back-to-work thing playing out?
Oh, DC's on fire in terms of expansion. So there's a lot. Maybe not as many as New York or Toronto, but there's a lot.
Who do you think has more, New York or Toronto, Susan?
By the government.
Who has more? New York or Toronto?
I don't know. Maybe Toronto.
You got that right. Ding, 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 ding. You're a winner. You're a winner. You won the prize.
Good.
Brad Lamb, he's a real estate developer. He builds 40-story condos. He's a client of ours, and he's a friend of ours. He's frequently on this show. He's a great, great, smart man. And the fact is, he's shared with us, there's 240 cranes in Toronto, which is more than the 11 largest cities combined in North America.
Wow.
I know, Susan. Isn't that wild?
And it's still not enough houses.
All their growth 20 years ago, right? So now it's just rebuilding, basically.
Well, much of Toronto needs to be rebuilt. We have a lot of decrepit streets on this city. They're decrepit, and the homes are all worth over $1 million, and they look like junk. Again, these buildings in North America were engineered. You're a civil engineer. Susan, yeah. I can ask you the question. You're the civil engineer. A suburban townhome. All right, we're pivoting away from what you do for a living, going back to your accreditation, that little ring you have on your finger, right? You got the ring on your finger?
Yeah.
Eh? It's on your pinky. On the pinky. Yeah. Okay, you got your pinky ring on. What is the shelf life? What's the engineered life or the built-in obsolescence life of a typical suburban home in North America?
A typical suburban. Yeah. Well, I think they're getting cheaper and cheaper.
Okay, so the number's going down. So how long? How many years?
Okay. I don't know. 30 years.
Oh, come on. No. So you're the civil engine. What were you? You're fired. You're fired as I can see why you become an analyst. You're building 30 year homes. My God. No, 75 years is what I was taught by two engineers. 75 years. And you see it. Floors sag, roof sag. The windows are designed for 25.
You're talking structural, not cosmetic type stuff, not redoing kitchens.
Yeah,
Well, she's talking cosmetic. No, we're not doing cosmetics. That's the other part of the show. Yes, the structural part. Anyways, we're playing around here, hanging out with Susan Anderson, one of our analysts. She, of course, is an engineer, but she's also a certified financial analyst. She's a master in business, an MBA. That's so 80s, by the way. And I respect it. I'm with you. It's good. It's cool. I'm just saying. You don't hear a lot of MBAs going around. It's CFAs and I don't know what the new.
We like experience in our office. She's got a lot of that there,
too. I love experience. Oh, in the markets, logging experience, losing hair, being bald. It's actually a good thing, sort of. Not really. I may have to go to Turkey. Another show. you know what's going on in Turkey, Susan, as we're talking health and wellness and beauty? You know Turkey has become?
What has it become?
It has become the hair transplant capital of the world.
Oh, wow.
You didn't know that, eh?
How do you know that?
It's top secret.
I'm inquisitive. When a chia pet shows up in your office that you saw the week before with no hair, what's going on here? a fellow in my office went to Turkey, and I think for $3,000, 8 hours in the chair, incredible transplant. In Canada, they won't. Not seduce you, seduce you. what's the word I'm looking? Sedate you, seduce you. Sure, I feel like what's his chops from All in the Family, Mister. What was his
That's
name?
Not good for the hair thinning shampoo everyone's trying to sell.
Yeah, good luck, the Tawny. Back in the day, that was called the Helsinki formula. Remember that one? The Helsinki. You remember that, Jack? Jack doesn't even know. Oh, goodness. Anyway, why Turkey? Because they will sedate you longer and basically do a bigger transplant more hair. 8 people working around you, and they don't need to be true doctors, and so therefore they can hire cheaper staff, bigger crew, more hair for the buck, and a lot cheaper. In Canada, or $10,000-$20,000. In Turkey, $3,000. Go on the social media. The jokes are hilarious. The jokes on social media are so funny. People showing up at the airport with all this hair on their head. That's so funny. The departure flight, the picture of the people on the plane, all bald, the coming home flight, all hair. So funny.
Like, wait, how'd you grow that hair?
Yeah. I've debated getting a transplant. I said, no way. I couldn't do it. I got a little tuff on the front of my hair, and that's sort of what I'm hanging on to, my little tuff. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Material world, indeed. Let's stay on the topic. Ulta Beauty. So we own the stock. Now, what, they have about 16,000 stores, Susan?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, is that a yes?
Is that, that's, oh, is no, that a, not. not 15,000.
No, I said they have about 16,000 stores is what I said. Is that correct?
Oh, they're going to get close to about 1,500, I would say. So their long-term goal is like 1,500 to 1,700 in the U.S., and they'll be there about 2025. Last year, they had about 1,300.
Oh, that's a lot of stores, Wolf, 1,500 stores.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Well, there's 2,000 Tim's in Toronto, and I think there's 3,000 pot shops. There's more pot shops than there are Tim's, I think, in Toronto.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But Ulta, in terms of their revenue growth rate, what are you forecasting?
Yeah. So, I mean, probably longer term, we're looking at mid-high single-digit growth, including, you know, store growth, comp growth. Comps will probably normalize in the 3 to 5% range. You know, they've seen massive growth because of COVID, right? So they kind of saw that normalization trend. So that's not normal. So we're going to look out. Normal is probably mid to high single digit top line.
Hmm. You know, the stock that we own, and this is, you know, it's a consumer discretionary space. You're obviously working in a very microcosm of the whole discretionary space. It's fascinating how tight you've gotten with what you're paying attention to. And we will get to another stock in your space, but I'm going to diverge for a second over to Louis Vuitton Moët Chandon. They do have a cosmetics division. That stock has been ripping. And I thought that was actually, I'm not sure which the highest margin business is for Louis Vuitton. It's not their booze. It may be
their leathers.
It's their leathers. Yeah. That's where they're making the bulk of their money is in their leathers. And their cosmetics, their margins are a little less. But it's incredible. These really high-end brands have so much mojo right now. The low-end stuff is really holding in as well. The Dollaramas, the Walmarts of the world. Home Depot has become extremely cheap. Costco's trying to recover from a bit of a flat line. It's just very dynamic to see the footings out there. With that said, what are you picking up?
It's still the same story. The middle's getting squeezed.
Middle's
right?
Getting squeezed.
And I would also add that those high-end brands will...
So you could buy your Louis Vuitton bag, right? So, you know, you go to Costco and buy your other stuff cheaper, so you still have money left over. So,
yeah, you talk about a barbell approach. You get the high-end brands, and then you got the dollar stores. The high-end brands over the last 2 years, we were talking to an analyst just this week, they really rediscovered their pricing power, demand and elasticity. Yeah. And the fact is they can raise prices more than they realized over the last decade, because last decade for inflation was relatively benign. And I don't think that those high-end brands probably raised rates as much as they probably could have.
Share with us, if we have about 60 seconds with you, Susan. Share with us some key trends that are pivot points that you think that we can really wrap our arms around for the next 3 to 5 years in your space of consumer and retail.
Yeah. So, I mean, the same thing in beauty, that trading up. So we're seeing actually luxury beauty brands. So Dior, Fenty, like all these like luxury brands becoming really popular. So it's kind of the same barbell. So either low end or people want to trade up to prestige or luxury. So that's a trend. You know, we're seeing lots of sustainability, lots of clean ingredients, right? Like consumers more and more are paying attention to what they not only put in their mouth, but put on their face, right? So no one really wants anything with bad ingredients that's going to, you know, longer term harm you. Also, you know, the online business, no one would ever thought that people would buy makeup online, right? But now you can basically try it on online with all of the AR, AI, all of the technology. So
really?
It's easier to try online.
You can actually... Susan.
You'll never have is fragrance. You could never smell anything online, right? Like, that would be really hard to solve.
But you think you can actually... You're telling me you can sample, try with a degree of comfort?
So you can take a picture of yourself.
Makeup?
And you upload it.
Online?
Yeah. You take a picture of yourself, you upload it, and then you could try different colors on yourself. Or you can use one of their own models.
My daughter is obsessed with, she's 15, by the way, obsessed with mascara. And she found some, I don't know, Aqualift, no water, so it makes her, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
My daughter, she was so excited when she bought this tube of, I don't know what it was called. But do you know the brand I'm talking about? What was the name of the brand she's buying? No?
There's so many, and I guess she probably learned about it on TikTok.
Is that what she did, eh? She learned about that on TikTok.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me. I'm curious where she gets this information. You know.
That's where they all get it. I mean, without social media, it's really changed, you know, the beauty industry. Like, people find all their information on social media. That's where they discover brands. That's where they discover new products. And then, you know, sometimes they buy directly from there, but lots of times they'll go to the store then and check it out.
Social media drives it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Susan Anderson, analyst with Canaccord, covering the consumer and retail health, wellness, and lifestyle sector. Can't thank you enough for your insight. Fascinating. May you be well, and I look forward to continue to read your research. Going to take a quick break, get right back with Hi-Fi Radio, and speak with our technician, Mr. Javed Mirza. He's got the charts right in front of him. And my friends, that friend, the friend is your trend. Sure, the trend is your friend. I feel like Archie Bunker today. Stand by.
Don't go anywhere. There's more Hi-Fi Radio in a moment on 640 Toronto.
Wild Cherry. You gotta watch his video on YouTube. It is so classic. Oh my goodness me. That's just too funny. Love it. Yeah, funky music. You know, it's incredible. You know, back in the day before zeros and ones and technology, people traded stock, but they did so curbside, as they used to say. Greatest book on the market is Reminiscence of a Stock Operator. Or any of the old books on the market. I mean, you know, the ones that are 80, 100 years old, they talk about the way it was. And yeah, curbside trading, market was open on the weekend. All kinds of shenanigans took place, I'm sure. But yeah, they bid stocks up and down based on supply and demand. And so be it. But it was just prices and last prices, and you sort of remember prices, but they couldn't really track the stuff. And well, along came a new advent of science called technical analysis, where they start to plot stock prices onto paper and create what's called charts. And then people decide to look at those charts and see trends. He would see things. Javed Mirza is one of those men who sees things. Hope he doesn't hear any voices. Probably does. I do. Anyways, Javed, thanks for joining us, my good friend. Having a little fun today. It is Saturday night. We're allowed to have some fun. And you know something? That's one of the reasons why I go to work, to smile, to engage, to have fun. Javed, it's interesting. And I want to speak loosely at first. You can buy we can buy stocks making all-time highs, okay? Now, yeah. That means you're paying top dollar for it. Who wants to pay top dollar for anything? And ironically, a thing in motion stays in motion. And when something is really moving, a party is taking place, and who wants to miss out on a party? Of course, parties do end, and then the hottest party falls the hardest. But then you got the other camp where you find the beaten-up names that are down in the dumps, and they're cheap, 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 cheap. You can buy those, but they can get cheaper and they can stay down the dumps. Or you can look in between the stuff that was down and is starting to turn the corner and move higher. So there's really three ways you can enter the market. You can buy the super strong stuff that's working like a charm, that's already had a big move, which runs the risk of it retreating just after I buy it. It happens to me all the time. You can buy something deep in the dumps. I just bought Nutrien this week, Javed. Deep in the dumps. I just think knowing the company fundamentally as well as I do, it's a world-class producer of nitrogen, phosphate, and what's the third one, Jack? Potassium. No, potash. Potash, nitrium, and phosphate. Those three items. It was the old potash merging with ag, and the two merged. World's largest. Cheaper than chips. Big divvy. Yeah, earnings are going to roll over. That's why the stock's down. The market knows a whole lot of it. I have a feeling I tried to catch a falling knife, and I caught it basically right near the floor. I have a feeling about that, but ain't certain. We'll find out in time. But you know, Javed, I'll tell you what we start to pick up this week is a few names in that in-between category that hit the floor and are forming bases. Shall I talk about Amazon? Shall I talk about MDB? Shall I talk about Meli? There's three names I threw out to you, all in the land of tech, all that were darlings that blew up, that have hit the floor, that actually look fundamentally, technically, to my naked eye, pretty good. Your thoughts. I'll repeat the names. Amazon, Meli, and MDB. MongoDB.
Yeah. So as you know, we'll don't talk too much about individual stocks on these kinds of shows. But what I would say is, in general, we continue to see basically the market underneath the surface continue to improve. And in general, some of the smaller cap names as well. So that was the concern. You know, that's what we saw in 2021 is all the large mega cap tech names. They basically lifted the market higher. And I think we saw the results of that in 2022 when basically those names we call the Goliaths came under pressure and really were led to and had a disproportionate share of the losses of the market. But even though we've seen those names rebound,
right, and if I may, you're talking about the FANG stocks, the Facebook, the Apple, the Google, the Microsoft, 7-8 stocks. They drove the market higher in 18, 19, even right through 20. They kept working very, very well.
Yeah, but they're
well.
Also doing it in 23 right now.
I'm saying they had a huge move, a disproportionate move for such a long time. Then they went cold, and the world were overowned and began to unload them throughout 22. And that was supposed to carry into 23. I was positioned for it to carry into 23. Many people were. And that FANG complex hit bottom and began to turn the corner. Now, here we are in that in-between zone where they're well off their highs, well off their lows, and really driving the NASDAQ and technology higher, which is a leading indicator for broad market, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And so what we're seeing, and, you know, you've had us on the show a couple of times since October, and we've been talking about this new four-year cycle of cyclical bull market is taking hold that has upside into late, call it late 2025, early 2026. And, well, you know, one of the things that we like to see is there are different areas of the market that are working and different areas that aren't. And it's, you know, that's why it's, you know, some people call it the stock market, but we refer to it as the market of stocks. So there's thousands of stocks out there. Some are working, some aren't. Through the bulk of 2022, a lot of the charts look very similar, but now we're starting to see divergences. And
no, bifurcation, again, in technology. And Jack, you were talking about an hour ago. DocuSign, Flatline. Who else do you pick? But seven.
Pinterest. Zoom Video. So all the real COVID darlings.
The super darlings,
yeah, super darlings. No, but technology right now, the market loves a story. Right now, the technology story is AI. Are they talking about AI? How are they benefiting from it? And have they been able to convert to profitability? And how profitable are they? So market still wants growth. They want profitability. And they want artificial intelligence in that story.
And the scary thing is, friends at home, pay attention to this. A company knows now that it can push its stock higher, as Jack indicated, through profitability. And an easy way to become profitable is to cut costs. Any company that's mentioned a 10,000 headcount cut has witnessed their stock price go higher. Expect more of those announcements. I repeat, go to work Monday to Friday. Go in early if you want. Leave a little. Just show your face. Be present and rub shoulder. You'll have more fun, too. I do believe that. Yes, a lot of bifurcation going on in the land of tech. So let's go back to the leaders versus the fallen angels. Would you place more money in the leaders, the stuff that's working, or would you dabble in some of the falling angels at this juncture, Javid?
No, I prefer to stay with what's working. You know, the market is telling us these are the names that, for whatever reason, the future is holding more potential. So those are the areas that right now we'd prefer to add. So broadly speaking, information technology, we're seeing consumer discretionary improve as well. And in the U.S., communication services. So those areas are working. And then here in Canada, it's materials, industrials, and consumer discretionary. And as you know, we really, really like the industrials in both Canada and the U.S. So those are areas of the market we continue to like. For instance, you know.
We're going to take a quick break here. I'm getting the rap slap and shut up. So let's do that. Commercial break. Get back to Hi-Fi Radio. I'm Wolfgang Klein, hanging with our technician, Mr. Javid Mirza. Of course, my partner, Jack Hartle. You have any questions? Check us out, wolfgangklein.com. Send us a note. We will get back to you. No question too big, no question too small. We shall help answer them all. Stay tuned.
Want to make more money? Stay tuned for more Hi-Fi Radio on 640 Toronto.
Keep them coming, friends. Keep them coming. Now I don't drive. Welcome back to the show. About money. Old Joe Walsh there. Life has been good. I hope it's been good to you. It's been great to me. And, well, may the greatness spill over to all of you. And, you know, having money, more of it, helps. It does help. Yes, indeed. And don't fall victim to these. Have you caught these commercials, Jack, on television? I know you don't watch a lot of television. But the commercials running on people who've taken on too much debt, and now they need help because they're insolvent. And they're basically looking for a handout. It's appalling that they consume too much, big debt, now they're in financial difficulty and about to lose everything.
Well, bankruptcies are ticking up right now. So throughout COVID, free handouts found its way, obviously, into people's bank accounts. I say they bought a bunch of discretionary items. There was not a lot of insolvencies, not a lot of bankruptcies, but now reality is kicking in because interest, borrowing is not free.
I'm just saying the consumer world we live in, some people have, I don't care what the government handouts is a new thing. There are people who are just consuming too much stuff that they can't afford, and they end up in a situation of bankruptcy. It's not good.
But I would say that's part of, I'm going to say, a normal cycle too.
A normal cycle. That is my point. And but now they're running commercials saying that, you know, society help us. We've got ourselves in trouble.
Those.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. You must learn to live beneath your means. And I'll tell you, you know, if you're a child of an immigrant, you're going to learn those lessons well because your parents are going to teach them to you. The issue is the 6th, 7th, 8th generation, they don't learn those lessons anymore until they have to. And that's usually the wrong time. My goodness. It's a blessing to be a child.
Live with a margin of safety. Live beneath your means. No different than when you're buying stocks. Make sure that, you know, if you're buying a stock, make sure that it's a high quality stock where there's a margin of safety.
How about no debt? The problem is people are taking on too much consumer debt. You know, and I know, Jack, there's only one type of debt I think is acceptable for an average Canadian, and that is a mortgage. No consumer debt, period. Never, ever, ever. The interest, credit card, you got 18%. I can't make you 18%. Maybe Javik can. our guest here is a technician, market technician. But you know something? I know he can't make
18%. Manage consumer debt for sure. And I mean,
don't manage it. Don't have any consumer debt.
If you're going to buy a big ticket item, not a lot of people have enough money to buy a car in their bank account. So, yes, I need a vehicle.
That's a second. Okay, but do you need the $80,000? I think a BMW and an Audi and a high end car belongs to 1 or 2% of the population. I think the 15 to 20% of the population are driving luxury brand cars, which depreciate. That's $1,000 a month to service to own that car. $1,000 a month, Jack. You and I know the math. If you save $1,000 a month for the course of 40 years, that's it. There is ample. There's millions of dollars set up for retirement. $1,000 a month. So do you want to retire well, or you want to have a nice car?
So, Wolf, I will say one thing. I've always bought the same car, a used car.
Yeah,
my wife gets a new one, keep her happy. I've always got the used car.
I'm not down on a used car, or buy a car, a good quality car, like a Toyota or a Honda, and drive it for 50. My Audi, people are laughing. Excuse me, my Volkswagen diesel, a 2-liter TDI 2004. I just put it to bed 18 months ago.
I think it put itself to bed. I think it was done well.
It did. I drove it to the end. I took care of it. Yeah, it cost me nothing. You know how much money, how much wealth I built while I wasn't paying for a car payment? It was all going to the bank. I was banking all that dough over 18 years. It's millions, or at least a million. It's a lot of dough. Look at our website. We actually have a lot of compounding tables on it under our resource center. Go to wolfgangkline.com if you're interested in the power of compounding. And that really is what wealth creates. That's how you create wealth long term. There is no other way. Of course, Jack and I, we're going to talk about the squiggles on the line right now with Javit. It's what, you know, we do. We look at trends and try to, you know, anticipate change and, you know, add value, add alpha. But ultimately, you want to build wealth, you buy quality, and you do that for about 25 years and stick with it. Javit, do you agree or disagree with all that babble of mine?
100% agree. It's being consistent over time is the key to wealth, living below your means. All of that is the most important. In fact, those habits are much more important than, you know, buying one stock and maybe doubling your money. It's like investing is like going to the gym. It's all about those incremental gains and just doing it, week after week. And one of the best things you can do is just have money set aside that automatically gets deposited into your investment account that you don't even see. And I think that's what the difference is ultimately between wealthy people and poor people, is that poor people, they get the money, they spend it, and they invest the rest. And wealthy people, they get the money, they invest it, and then they spend what's over.
I love that.
That difference in mindset is key. It's critical. And you guys do a great job in helping people achieve those goals.
We do. I truly believe that. Go to our website. You tell us, my good friends. You go to wolfgangklein.com. Hit the Performance Matters button. You'll see well over a decade of monthly returns that Jack and I have generated for our clients. Over a decade. And then I say to you, ask your current advisor if they publish their work. There is not one advisor in the country that publishes their portfolio work on a monthly basis the way we do. I don't understand why. Are they afraid of what they're showing? I don't know. Anyways, wolfgangklein.com. You can find it there. But Javid, help me out here. I'm seeing a lot of strength in, I'm going to throw about 10 names to you that are strong and some names that are weak. NVIDIA, MDB, I mentioned to you. Fair Isaac. Copart is a stock that just had a nice pop for us. Louis Vuitton, Uber, Ferrari, Constellation Software, and Booking Holdings. There's 10 names that are looking very, very strong. Now let me show you, talk about some names that are looking weak and get your opinion. All the Canadian banks, every darn one of them. Cheaper than chips, 8-9 times earnings, juicy dividends. And again, Jack's reminded me, and I'm going to remind him, and we're going to keep reminding each other, these Canadian banks raise their dividend almost twice a year. Friends, did you hear what I said? Canadian banks increase their dividends almost every 6 months. And yet the stocks are trending lower. REITs not looking too healthy. Anything real estate is not looking very healthy, believe you. You heard what I said, friends. Most real estate stocks not looking well. Oil not looking so good, which doesn't bode well for the Toronto market. So I've shared with you some good. I've shared with you a lot of bad. And then we got the in-between stuff, which I think is the Amazons of the world. Okay, Javid, so what do you think? The strong versus the weak.
What I would say here, Wolf, is continue to stick with the strong, and they're going to be leaders in this new cycle as well. So right now we're seeing, especially in the industrials, they've been some pretty, shown some strong leadership. So I definitely like industrials in this new cycle. And, you know, we've talked about this, the HFL cycle or higher for longer. So we believe inflation and rates are going to be higher and be stickier than most people anticipate. So especially stocks that are paying dividends, we like a lot as well. But in general, you know,
Javid, I'm going to interrupt you. Dividend paying stocks with stocks that aren't working. The big juicy divvies are the banks, and they're not working. Same with the oils, not working. What do you do with them?
So I do like the banks here in financials in both Canada and the U.S. We are looking for them to turn around. They are, as you mentioned, obviously.
No, sorry, good time. Banks. So you like the banks, fine, turning around. What about the energy space?
Do not, very cautious on energy. So I think we, you know, Wolfgang and Jack, you guys are usually on our Monday call where we talk to the entire team. And one of the things we've been highlighting since August of last year is that we think crude is going to be kind of in this choppy sideways trading range into, call it, late 2024, early 2025. So we think energy stocks are poised to underperform. Now, I'm not saying...
Okay, no, that's cool. That's cool. Javid, I apologize. We've gone a little long here. Jack, I'm going to give Jack 10 seconds. Jack, what's your take? The strong stocks versus the weak stocks?
I agree with Javid. Leadership will continue to lead in the next cycle.
So strong stocks continue to be strong.
And if you're going to own the weaker stocks, make sure you're getting paid in between, meaning you're getting those dividends. Dividends are increasing, and make sure that you own quality because the market may not agree with you on your timeline.
Quality, quality, quality. And so what we mean by that, the best in breed in the sector. So if it's an oil stock, buy the biggies. If it's a healthcare stock, buy the biggies. If it's a real estate company, buy the biggies. Don't be lured just by the dividend. Be careful. The really high dividend payers tend to get cut and the stocks tend to be weak. Dividend growers. Too much detail for you guys. You shouldn't even worry about this stuff. You should hire someone like Jack and I. We'll worry about the minutia with Javid for you. Anyways, that's it. Show's over. Hi-Fi Radio, each and every Saturday on 640 Toronto. Javid Mirza, our technician, I thank you for your time. My partner, Jack Hartle. As always a delight. Friends at home, be well, be safe, be wealthy. Work, 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 work. Save, invest, repeat. 25 years. Got it? See ya.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Harthill, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any questions about money, email wolfandjack@wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio. For the love of money. Join us again next week.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.